Golf Smarter number 129 for June 3, 2008.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
We're going to work on your short game today with the Wedge Guy.
This is Golf Smarter. Each week we tap the best minds in golf to help lower your scores with tips, drills, insights, and advice. In conversation with course pros, architects, authors, players, teaching gurus, and coaches, here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome and thanks for downloading the latest episode of the Golf Smarter podcast. Actually, based on so many emails about those of you who listen to shows multiple times, I'd like to say welcome back, because this episode has a lot of valuable information. I say that with some confidence because I'm excited to introduce you to Terry Kaler. He's an interesting character whose blog, thewedgeguy.com, is commentary and answers to questions submitted by readers about improving the game from 100 yards and in, a topic that I don't think we can get enough of. Stick around because we're also going to announce the winner of the Frankly Frog putter. Now, jokingly, I mentioned at the end of last episode that I may not return from my vacation from Gilligan's Island. Well, interestingly enough, the first tropical storm of the season, Hurricane Arthur, hit our location the morning we left. So it was really close. Anyway, let's talk golf. Welcome, Terry.
Hi, Fred. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you. I love your blog, The Wedge Guy. I think that there's so much that hasn't been talked about in wedge play and in short game play. And one of the things that really jumped out at me to start was, if you're playing a wedge that you have had for years, it's costing you strokes.
Well, I firmly believe that, Red. And if you look at the golf industry and our equipment that's in our golf bags, and let's go back even maybe 10 or 12 years, we've totally seen drivers revolutionized 2 and 3 times. We've seen the golf ball bear no resemblance to what we played 10 years ago. We've seen the spikes on our shoes and our shoes be totally revolutionized. Shafts, for the most part, in our irons, we're seeing more and more graphite, lightweight steel. We're seeing continued revolution in iron head technology. And yet, when you walk into the wedge display in your local retail store or your pro shop, what's on that rack is essentially the same thing we've been looking at for 20 years. And that's really kind of absurd when you think about the industry. But there are a lot of things we can do to wedges now that if you've got an old wedge in your bag, you're not benefiting from.
And what do you mean by that?
Well,
is it specific to an old wedge, or is it old technology that you're talking about?
Well, let me answer that this way, and it's really both. First of all, if that wedge in your bag is over 3 or 4 years old, the chances are that the grooves were cast in place. And let's talk about cast and forge for a minute. Cleveland and Titleist control 70% of the wedge business. Those are both cast wedges, always have been. But it's about the metallurgy. Good soft carbon steel, whether it's cast or forged, it's going to provide you with a really good feel. Casting doesn't make something hard. For example, every stick of butter in the store is cast.
But I'm going to interrupt you for a second. I'm going to ask you to explain the difference between cast and wedge. What specifically are you referring to?
We're talking about the club head being cast of a metal or forged of a metal. And there's this controversy or argument that's been going on forever in golf about forged being better than cast. And the reality of it is that cast and forged are just two very basic ways of forming metal into a shape.
Okay.
And casting allows more detail. Casting allows less handwork by a finisher or polisher. And it's been accepted. I mean, there's been a million tournaments won with cast wedges and cast irons, and every driver out there is cast, every 4-wood, 3-wood, 5-wood, hybrid. Casting is not inherently bad. But casting got a bad rap when it first started out because the foundries that were casting club heads were casting 17-4 stainless, which is it's a matrix of metal. And 17-4 is very easy to cast. There's a term they use called foundry friendly. They know what it's going to do, but it's a very hard material. So cast clubs got a rap for being very hard. We don't hear much about it anymore. But I'm getting kind of diverted there, which we might have happening today.
But, a couple times between the two of us, yeah.
But casting and forging is a non-issue. It really is, and people don't get diverted by that. It's just a non-issue. There are companies out there that forge their clubs that would argue with that. There are companies out there that cast their clubs that don't talk much about it. But it really is a non-issue. There are a bunch of elements that affect the feel of a club head, and how that head is formed is just one of them. But going back to the wedges, so if you have a wedge that's over 3 or 4 years old, and even some that are bought currently on the rack, the grooves were cast into that head when it was formed, and then the face is sanded and polished, and you end up with a club that has 60 or 70% of the groove volume that the USGA says you could have had. And the only way to push that volume to USGA limits is to what's called CNC milling, which is computer numeric controlled milling, which is an individual cutter that goes in and cuts each groove. Another cutter cuts that face perfectly flat. So you're getting optimum grooves that the USGA says you could have. One of the examples I use is if you're going to buy a wedge that gives you 60% of the spin that a new milled groove wedge could give you, that's like buying a driver that's 30% shorter than what you could have bought. And nobody would ever do that. No. So if everybody wants spin with their wedges, the greens we play now, the bunkers that we need to hit the ball over, the rough we play out of, requires you to optimize your grooves. And at the very least, a new wedge with some kind of a milled groove is going to give you more spin than whatever is in your bag. And again, I run a wedge company, but that's a non-brand specific assessment. Now, I believe, and I'll plug this, I believe our wedges, the Eidolon V-Sole wedges, I believe our grooves, and from the testing we've seen, will spin the ball better than any other conforming wedge. But for any golfer out there, you have to avail yourself of a wedge that has good quality grooves in it that will really spin the ball. The other side of it is, if you're playing a wedge you've had for 8 or 10 years, it may be a real favorite, but you've worn those grooves down, and they probably started out inferior because they weren't milled. Then you've hit enough bunker shots and sand shots and rough and other shots over the years. You've worn those grooves down, and that's like wearing the spikes off the bottom of your golf shoes. It just can't grip the ball as well.
What about getting your wedge re-grooved after a few seasons?
Well, there are services out there that offer regrooving of wedges. You have some issues with that. One is the compromising of the finish on the wedge, if it has a finish on it. And the other is the precision of the person who's regrooving your wedge. And that's a pretty hard thing to do and ensure that you're going to still comply with the USGA rules if that's important to you. I mean, obviously, a lot of people, they don't care about the rules, but I think most golfers that we do, and that wedge, I mean, you could go scrape out the grooves with these regrooving tools yourself, and you could make the ball stop like crazy, but you've probably made your wedge illegal. You know, not illegal. It's not against the law. It's against the rules. It's the difference between illegal and non.
Yeah, well, you know, for some golfers, breaking the rules of golf, it's illegal, it's immoral.
Exactly. And most golfers are that way. That's one of the wonderful things about this great game we play.
Right. Right, absolutely, is that you get to be your own referee out there, and it's honorable. It's all about honor. There's no question about it.
The other thing about wedges, and continuing on this dialogue,
sure,
wedges come in the other real functional part of a wedge is the sole, what we call the bounce. And there are hundreds and hundreds of options out there and bounce angles. And very simply, the bounce in the bottom of the golf club, if you hold the club up and look at it from the toe, kind of a worm's eye view, you'll see a downward angle from the leading edge back to the trailing edge of that wedge. That's what's called bounce. It makes that wedge act like an airplane wing. When it hits the turf, it comes back out of the turf rather than digs a trench. I'm sitting here looking at a 1930 vintage Niblick, and I wonder how people ever hit golf shots with this thing. It's just a knife. I mean, I don't know how you ever got it out of the dirt. My hat's off to Bobby Jones and those guys. They did some miraculous things with some tools that were ill-equipped for it. But the bounce on the bottom of a wedge makes it play and makes it come out of the turf. But we haven't seen a variation in the way bounce is configured in 60 years. And we have high bounces and low bounces and tour bounces. And it's just a myriad of confusion for the golfer.
Yes.
And, you know, because you run into every kind of lie imaginable in a round of golf. You might be over by the cart path on this hole, and it's real tight. And the next hole, you hit it on the side of the green opposite the cart path. Nobody walks over there. The turf is much more lush. You know, the next shot's out of the fairway. The next one's out of the bunker. It rained yesterday. The turf is soft. It's in South Texas. It hadn't rained in a month. The turf is hard. But you have that wedge that you like, and it's got to work from all of that. And the reality of it is conventional bounce technology doesn't work very well except on a very narrow range of lies. And the big wedge companies will even tell you that this bounce for tight lies, this bounce for fluffy lies, this bounce for a steep attack, this bounce for a shallow attack.
Yeah, we're getting back into one of those rules again. It's like you're only allowed to carry 14 clubs in your bag.
And that's what we need. We'd probably all be better if we played with carried about eight anyway. But you know, that's another topic we can talk about.
It's amazing to me the way you're talking. And we talked about the technology and how it's advanced in drivers, in shoes, in balls, in the heads of irons. With all the millions and millions of dollars that's being spent on R&D, why is it then that wedges are falling by the wayside in their development?
Well, Fred, I could only speculate. Maybe because not enough companies like Eidolon have come out there to push the status quo. I don't know. But I think that wedges are sold as commodities. They're sold, you know, one size fits all, which, you know, the shaft of the wedge is another big, you know, big part of that golf club that nobody gives any attention to. Every wedge from every manufacturer essentially is offered with the same one size fits all shaft. I like to say the one size fits no one because it's a 25-year-old shaft. It's heavy, it's stiff, and you know, wedge play requires a lot of finesse and technique and feel, and I think we can do a better job there. I can't answer why wedges have been short shrifted, maybe, as I would put it. I'm a little harsh maybe on the industry about that, but and I maybe shouldn't be. But it is an area where a lot of golfers could, if they'd spend the time and attention on their wedges and their short game, I would guarantee every golfer has got 10 to 30% of their handicap could come off if they would get better within 100 yards of the green. Every one of them. I don't care if you play to a 3 or if you play to a 23 or a 33. 10 to 30% of your handicap is due to poor short game.
I wouldn't dispute that in the least. I've found that when I'm playing well inside 100 yards, my game is a lot better. When I can make it down from 3 strokes down to 2 strokes in that distance, then, you know, the scoring reflects it.
Well, it makes a huge difference. And even if from week to week on the PGA Tour, the guys that are getting up and down well that week are the guys that are winning. Nobody's beating the golf courses from tee to green. I mean, the tour average is 13 greens around for the best players. You know, these guys aren't out here putting it birdie 18 times. But the difference being is that when Tiger Woods hits 11 greens, he shoots 67. And when the guy at the club hits 11 greens, he shoots 77. Well, you know, he missed 7 greens and got up and down 2 out of the 7, maybe 3 putted one of the other holes, maybe put a double in there with a chunked bunker shot or something. And those strokes add up in a hurry.
And that's golf.
But, you know, back to the wedge thing, one other thing I always, it's kind of a tongue-in-cheek, I used to tell people when I first developed this wedge technology that the only two things in your bag with 20-year-old technology are your tees and your wedges. But then I can't say that about tees anymore. So, because they've changed tees so much, now they're longer, and we got brush tees and all these little different kind of forks that the ball sits on, and they say tees are high tech now.
Yeah, but does that make any difference? Come on.
You asked me to talk about wedges, Fred. I think it's all hokey, but, you know, hey, people are making a lot of money selling golf tees out there now.
They're quitting their jobs being insurance salesmen, going, I've got the perfect tee. It's going to be my new career. It's like, don't quit your job.
Yeah, right. But, you know, I mean, I'm not going to get into that.
Okay, I'm sorry.
We don't use tees around the greens with our wedges, so let's stay on that subject.
Wait a minute. You're not supposed to?
No.
Okay.
You can really get a lot of spin off of a shot if you do.
All right, go ahead. I won't talk about tees. With the shafts on the wedges, you talked about shafts a moment ago, and it seems so interesting that I've gone from a metal shaft to a graphite shaft, and it's improved my play. I feel it's improved my back pain at the end of a round. But again, when I get into the closer game, when I pull the wedges out, I'm playing with metal shafts.
Right.
why am I not getting that opportunity? Is it because I'm a slower swing speed?
Well, again, I'll have to speculate, and I'll speculate a little this way. If I'm Cleveland or Titleist and I have 70 wedge models, if I offer them all with only one shaft, I've got 70 stocking units that I have to deal with. If I offer a graphite option, I just change that to 140. If I offer regular and firm flex, I just changed it to 280. And that's a lot of inventory to manage. So I think and I may, you know, hope lawyers don't write me any letters or anything, but I have to speculate because I've been in big companies where you have a lot of inventory. I was director of marketing at Hogan one time, and managing all these stocking units is a very difficult thing. So if I have 70 models and the pro's going to put 12 in his pro shop, I've already got a challenge, you know, which 12. If I just take shaft totally out of the equation, it makes my selling job, stocking job, simpler. And, you know, but I'm not going to say that's right for your short game. You know, the premise is that all of us should play the same flex in our wedges. And, you know, this 70-year-old guy who plays a very lightweight graphite shaft in his irons and he hits a 9-iron 90 yards, I'm not going to think that he should use the same wedge shaft as this 30-year-old kid over here who hits driver 290. I'm just not thinking they need the same wedge shaft.
No, it doesn't make any sense at all.
The other thing about a wedge shaft to me that's very interesting is we ask our wedges to do things that no other club is asked to do. Let's take your 8-iron. Okay. A full 8-iron is 145, and a little soft 8-iron is 142, and a real little bitty soft 8-iron is 138. But your sand wedge, full sand wedge, is 85, but sometimes you hit it 6 feet because you're only 6 feet off the green. You need to hit that little delicate pitch.
Yeah.
That is a radical difference in club head speeds. You've got this club has to perform from full swing speed all the way down to putter head speed. And no other club in our bag is asked to do that. To me, it puts the most incredible challenge on the shaft. The industry seems to answer that with, if it doesn't flex at all, it can't flex the wrong amount. And so we put just big old stiff steel shaft in there. So you go back to this example, this little 72-year-old guy is playing a 65-gram graphite shaft in his irons, and he's got a 125-gram steel shaft in his sand wedge. That's 2 ounces. That's a huge disconnect in feel and feedback between his 9-iron or pitching wedge and his set and the very next scoring club, which is a sand wedge. That's a huge feel disconnect.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I think that we need to give attention to that. When we started Eidolon Golf, we said, you know, the shaft is the engine of the golf club, is something that Mr. Hogan used to always say. I always thought was a good comment. And that we said, let's really fine-tune the shaft. Let's offer it in regular and firm flexes. Let's offer it in steel and graphite. And let's make that even across the board so that a golfer can get a weight connect with his irons first, and then get a flex connect with his irons, and at least we're moving toward getting your wedges fitted properly.
Well, you also, one of the blog entries that I was reading about, you were talking about just wedge technique in itself, and I'd love to get a tip from you on this. We'll get back into talking about these things, but you're kind of leading in that direction, about wedge technique and the swing itself, about acceleration, about going slow and doing it almost like a putting stroke.
Well, my thinking is that when we look at the things we do in life, let me go back and approach it this way. One of the blogs I wrote and one of the articles I wrote is your golf game is much like a house painter. And if you think about a paint crew coming in to paint the inside of your house, and they start out in the big wall areas, and they're using a power roller or maybe even a sprayer, and they're laying some paint down with a lot of power, and they're getting a lot of paint in a short amount of time. It's a power game. When that's your driver and your hybrids and your fairway woods and even your long irons. Then they get to where they're cutting in around the doors and windows, and they go to a brush or a smaller roller, and they work a little slower, and they get those doors all cut in. And then usually there's one guy in the paint crew that's the trim guy. And he comes in, he's working very slow and methodically, very carefully with small brushes. And he's painting that trim to get that the junction of the wall paint and the trim paint just perfect. Your wedges are your trim brushes on a round of golf. They finish off a round of golf because the best paint job in the world on a house is ruined by a bad trim guy. And the best ball striking round of golf you can play is ruined by bad work around the greens.
Oh, I was wondering where you're going with that. That was an excellent point.
I like to call the wedges the trim brushes, okay. And the putter gets thrown in there with it. That's what you finish off that round with.
Sure.
And we all can pretty much move the ball north and south and get it around the green somewhere with reasonable proficiency. I mean, most 20 and 25, 30 handicappers, they're grown. I mean, they can move the ball. They can get it around the golf course, but they just gouge the course to pieces when they get around the greens. Mm. So my thought is, in my observation, most golfers I see are way too quick with their swing tempo around the greens. And I would tell you, if nothing else, and I can't give you a lesson over the phone, but no matter who you are, go out to the range and put a bucket of balls down and just hit the shortest little chip shots, you know, little 15, 20-foot, 20-yard pitches as slow as you can hit them. I mean, deliberately slow motion. Concentrate on getting the movement the way you want it. Move slow and deliberately. Don't worry about this accelerate through the ball thing that's been pounded in our head. You will not decelerate. You can take the club back and literally I have what I call the gravity drill, where you can literally get it back and just let your arms and your body just fall through the ball. Don't worry about follow through. Don't worry about anything. Just concentrate on making your hands go back and your hands go through and work slowly. If you think about the things we do in life, that I use the painting analogy. If we're trying to trace something, if we're trying to thread a needle, anything we do in our lives that requires precision, we do it slow. And I look at if you throw darts, if you pitch pennies, if you do things, it's a light touch and a slow action. And that's what your short game and your putting has to be built around, is a light touch and a slow action so you can have precision.
I don't know where to go with you on this because I want to talk about wedges, but I want to talk about the short game.
We can talk about technique long. I mean, I'm very big on wedge technique.
I think that's so important.
You put the tools in your hand, and then you understand some of the raw basics. And I talk about what I call the three keys to a solid short game. And I touched on one there a minute about the light grip. You can't hold your wedge too lightly. It won't fall out of your hand. Your body won't let that happen. Most golfers across the board, but particularly with the scoring clubs, they're holding on too tightly. And the key to that, the key to grip pressure to me, is to control the pressure between your thumbs and your forefinger. These are our pincher fingers. We do everything with these. But if you are sitting here listening today, if you take your hands and clench your last three fingers against your palm, you will feel your arms tighten up, but your hands and wrists can stay very supple even with those squeezed. But if you will then squeeze your forefinger and thumb together, you will find your ability to move your hands is restricted entirely. It's a different set of muscles.
Yeah.
And we tend to grip our golf club too tightly with our pincher fingers. And the club, the putter, the wedges, the driver, all the way through the set, you really want to control the grip on the club with the last three fingers of each hand. That's where you're really controlling the golf club. And the pincher fingers is also our most sensitive nerves in our hand. If they're laying rather lightly on the golf club, you will swing slower, you will have less tension in your forearms, you will have better touch. When you squeeze your thumb and forefinger together, you'll feel different muscles in your forearm tighten than if you squeeze your last three fingers together. And it helps your sensitivity, it helps your feel, it helps the flow of the golf club to keep the thumb and forefinger very light on the club. And I encourage people to practice just gripping the golf club, focusing on the last three fingers of the left hand for a right-handed player, the middle two fingers of the right hand. If you have an interlock or overlap, you've got the little finger engaged. And keep those pincher fingers lightly on the golf club for feel, but don't control the golf club with them. So that light grip to me is a huge, huge fundamental of good short game.
Yeah. Okay, I want to ask you a wedge question again, and then we'll talk a little more about Eidolon. I want to know more about your company and the wedges that you produce. But a question, I got a bunch of questions in from someone about wedges from Mark Salisbury in Vancouver, Canada, who wanted to know, is there any difference between these different finishes? Are there any benefits, or is it just cosmetic with the oil can finish, the gunmetal, the chrome on wedges?
Well, there are claims that the raw finishes, the gunmetal, the raw, the unchrome. There are claims that they provide better feel. There are claims that they provide a little better action on the golf ball. I personally don't believe that.
Hmm.
I just don't. I think it's a cosmetic preference. I don't see it being. I don't think the average golfer, even the best golfer, I've worked with enough tour players. Some of these guys can feel some things that's pretty extraordinary, but then they make a living with a golf club in their hand.
Yeah, of course.
And the rest of us, I don't believe that. I don't think that it is measurable at all. I will say this. I think it's rather interesting that the industry has given us this in order to propagate new products, in my opinion.
Hmm.
But I think the industry has given us this, and I think what's extraordinary is they leave the chrome off of a club, which saves them considerable money in building the club, and then they charge you extra to do that. I think that's We do not offer a raw finish, but if we ever do, I will guarantee all of your listeners, we will not charge extra for it.
Okay. And what about this idea of, oh, if your wedge gets rusty, that's a good thing?
Well, first of all, you know, it depends on whether you ever touch your clothes with it. Rust stains are really hard to get out of clothes. But, you know, the thing is if you hit three bunker shots, you just polish the rust right off of the face of that golf club already anyway. So you're back to raw metal. I think it's a good marketing story. I just don't think it really has that much impact, but on the quality of the golf shots you're going to hit. And, you know, at the end of the day, that's what we're measuring. How good were my golf shots?
Right. Right. How can a person determine what kind of bounce they should employ in their wedge?
Boy, that's the mother of all questions.
Really? It's not a simple answer, huh?
Well, it's such a tough answer. And you know, you said we were going to talk about eidolon a little bit, and you're kind of leading me into it with that question. But let me answer the question first. The industry offers this, and I say the industry meaning the two companies that are the leading wedge manufacturers, Cleveland and Titleist. And they offer this. If you play firm turf, then you should employ a wedge with lower bounce angles. If you play softer turf, you should employ a wedge with higher bounce angles. They also offer that if you have a steep angle of attack, you should use a higher bounce angle. And if you have a shallow angle of attack, you should use a lower bounce angle. This is what they say. Here's my problem with that. Every golf course I've ever played in my life had soft turf and firm turf.
Yep.
And every decent wedge player, sometime you use a shallow angle of attack, sometime you use a steep angle of attack, depending on what you're trying to do with that golf ball at the time. So before I move on to the conundrum that this presents, then we got this thing called tour bounce. And people are all crazy about tour bounce. And I have published this before on my blog and in my website that I think there's an acid test for all you golfers out there that are thinking about a tour bounce wedge. And I said, the first question is, does your course superintendent go out and water your bunkers every day so they're nice and firm so you can spin the ball really well because the tour players get to play that? Secondly, do they cut your fairways down to 3/16 of an inch where they're really nice and tight because the tour players get to play that? And the third thing is your short game good enough to challenge Tiger and Phil to a $1,000 a shot up and down contest? Because they do that. Those guys have their wedges ground so the club will stay out of the way of their talent. The rest of us need our wedges so that the club will help us have more talent. I mean, that's really what we're after out there. So tour grind wedges are made that way for the best 100 players in the world. And if you're not one of those, that's probably not. You couldn't play their driver. You couldn't play their irons. You can't play their wedges. I mean, let's just be realistic. The difference between the best player at the club and the guys on the tour is primarily the short game. I've seen a lot of amateur players can hit it pretty good from tee to green. They can hit 11, 12 greens around, but they can't shoot 65 when they do it.
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing because you can't play their clubs, but you can play their courses, and that's what makes golf so interesting.
It's a wonderful thing. It is a wonderful thing. Now, let's go back to this bounce thing. So this bounce thing was always troubling to me. So I started grinding around and welding around on the sole of a wedge about 15, 18 years ago to find a way to make a wedge as good from the bunker as it was over by the cart path. And I believe I did it. And I patented this thing called the V-Sole. And what it is we put a very low bounce angle in the main part of the sole So what would be considered a low bounce wedge. But on each of our wedges, the first quarter inch from the leading edge back is a very aggressive bounce. And what we get when we combine those two bounce angles is a club, a wedge, or in our case, a line of wedges, that each one of these clubs is just as good off of a tight lie as it is out of the bunker or the rough or the, or fairway cut or soft turf or when you're making a little steeper angle of attack than another time. And we believe we've created the ultimate wedge sole technology. And that's what we believe. And our owners, who have been buying these wedges for 4 years, seem to concur because our average owner has almost 2.5 of our wedges in their bag already.
Wow.
And we offer 100% money-back guarantee.
Wow.
If it isn't the best wedge that you ever had, you can send it back. We'll refund your purchase price. We'll refund the shipping cost that we charged you to ship it to you. So you were out $6 or $7 to send it back to us and say, I don't like it. Go ahead, because when you buy one, you're not going to return it. Our return rate over almost 4 years is less than 1%.
And that is not anywhere near the industry standard as far as returns. Not.
No, absolutely not.
Oh, my
absolutely
gosh.
Not. Industry standard on a money-back guarantee would be in the 7 to 12% range.
Wow.
And they would not refund you the shipping cost, which we do. Because we don't want you to be out anything. Our approach is we built what we think are the best wedges in the business. And if you bought one on that confidence and you don't agree, I don't want you to be out any money. I mean, I sold you what I believe to be true. And if you don't find it to be true, then I certainly don't want you to be out any money.
That's an amazing offer. I'm sure that there are numerous Golf Smarter listeners that would be very interested in going to Eidolon.com to look into
it. It's EidolonGolf.com.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry.
The easiest way to remember it is BestWedge.com.
Okay, and so which is the website that they should be going to? BestWedge.com?
BestWedge.com will put you there, and it's easy for you to remember.
Yes, okay. And but you can make your purchases of a wedge there and do more investigation?
Yes, you can learn everything pretty much there is to know about us. If not, there's an ask link on there. You can ask us more questions. You'll
Good.
See about our technology. You'll read about wedges in general. We have a section in there called About Wedges that explains a little bit what I've been talking about
yeah.
shafts and
yeah,
spin
I've,
and bounce.
I've spent way too much time on your website, by the way.
Well, no, nobody ever spends too much time there, Fred. But I will also tell you that we have set up, in preparation for this wonderful program you've invited me to be on today,
Thank you.
That any of your listeners that come to our website and decide to buy, if they're in your order form, there's a field called promotion code. And if you will write Golf Smarter, you will get a 10% discount on anything in our wedge category. So as thank you for having us on today.
Well, thank you. That's a very generous offer. We appreciate it. So again, bestwedge.com. And when you're checking out, type in Golf Smarter in the promotion code and you will receive a 10% discount. And if
That's
you
right.
don't like the, and if you don't like it, you can send it back. You got a money back guarantee from this guy. I mean, he's the boss. So if
I mean,
he
we
says
know
that
how good they
it,
are. We know how good they are, and our customers write us reviews daily, telling us how our wedges made a dramatic impact in their golf game. And to me, that makes being in this industry so worthwhile. When you know you helped somebody have a little more enjoyment out of the game of golf, and you helped them spin the ball a little more, or make their bunker game a little better. Or, you know, overcome that tight lie trepidation that they had. That, to me, is what we all should be in this business for.
Well, you and I could probably talk about the short game much more than we were able to today. I hope that we can either get you back on or make you a regular part of one of our golf podcasts. But let me ask you one more favor, if you don't mind.
Sure.
How about we make the opportunity for one of our listeners to win one of the Eidolon wedges?
I think that's an excellent idea. And you set up the details of it. I would say if give people maybe a month to register on your website. We'll make a Eidolon 56-degree mid-wedge to your lucky winner at no charge. We'll custom tweak that golf club to their specifications, and they will and they'll win. And I would tell you we'll even do this. Since your winner is going to have no money involved in it, if your winner gets that wedge and doesn't like it, I'll buy them any other wedge on the market they want.
That's a hell of an offer. Wow. Wow. And, you know, we just recently employed an opportunity for the listeners who have won prizes on our show to send us an email with their review of it, and we post it on our Golf Smarter blog so that people can see the reviews by non-professionals. They can see the opportunity of what somebody thought about something that they won, because if they're in the market for that and they didn't get a chance to win it, they can see what somebody else said about it. So we're doing that as well. But if you would like to win an Eidolon wedge, and I'm not even going to go over the details of what you just said, but let's just say you can win the Eidolon wedge. Why don't you go to golfsmarter.com and click on the contest button and select Eidolon wedge, and we will have this run through the month of June. And if you win, Terry will customize it for you. So we'll make it. Let's see. June will be on Tuesday here. So we will announce the winner on July 1st, which means deadline for entry will be June 27th, 2008. June 27, 2008, go to golfsmarter.com, click on the contest button. You know the drill, you know how to win, and we hope that you do. Terry Kaler, thank you so much for being part of the Golf Smarter podcast today. Fascinating stuff. I love talking about the short game. You've enlightened me in so many different ways, and again, I hope we have you back again soon.
Well, we look forward to it, Fred, and thank you so much for having me on today.
Well, it was absolutely our pleasure, and hopefully it's not going to be the last time. I hope we can get Terry back on numerous times. A couple of weeks ago, Mark Salisbury of Canada wrote to ask a couple of wedge questions to be answered on the Golf Better podcast, and actually the timing was perfect because we were supposed to have Bob Vokey of Titleist on the show with Kenny, but at the last minute, he had to cancel due to scheduling conflict. So I wrote back to Mark to tell him that the wedge guy was going to be on and that maybe he should check out the Eidolon wedges instead. And I wanted to share with you his reply email because it's a testimonial, I think, that says a lot. I mean, we've just had this long conversation with Terry, but when you get somebody who makes a phone call and investigates on their own and gives this kind of feedback, I think it's worth sharing. And he writes, "Hey, Fred, guess what? I love the website, read the blog, and today I called up Eidolon Golf and spoke with a sales lady. I had some technical questions about shaft flex that she couldn't answer, but she said she'd have Terry give me a call. He called me back within 15 minutes. I couldn't believe it. I was talking to the equivalent of Carsten Solheim. Wow! Get this. After discussing which flex shaft I should get, in the steel spinner shaft, he is going to custom fit the wedges for me. I'm in between a stiff flex and a regular flex, so I ordered regular flex and in the note field asked for plus flex, and he's going to get his club maker to make the necessary adjustments. If I don't like it, all I have to do is send it back. He was so great that I placed an order for a full set of four wedges. Now, if you buy three or more of the wedges, you get a 15% discount. He also writes, wow, what great customer service. So now I'll have my custom wedges when I return from my Disney World vacation in 2 weeks. And then he talks about Disney World and his vacation and how his wife thinks he's funny because of his virtual golf buddies, because of all the things that he's learned on the Golf Smarter podcast. I think he talks about the Golf Smarter podcast to his wife just a little too much. And you know what? I can relate. Okay, so so if that's all interesting to you, please check out this amazing offer from Terry only for Golf Smarter listeners at EidolonGolf.com, or go to thewedgeguy.com and read his blog. Also, deadline for entries to win the Eidolon wedge is Friday, June 27th, 2008. To enter, please go to golfsmarter.com and click on the contest button, fill out all the forms, and click submit, and you're registered to win. Now, let's announce the winner of the Frankly Frog putter, designed by Frank Thomas at Frankly Golf. Okay, here we go. Thanks again for your overwhelming response to this giveaway. I'm just blown away. So many people enter. I really appreciate it. The winner from Redlands, California, is David Terrafay. It's Terrafay, T-E-R-I-F-A-Y. Hopefully I pronounced it properly. Terrafay. David, congratulations. Hope you will enjoy. We'll get Frank Thomas to send that out to you, and we'll probably have you two communicate so he can get your specifications on that putter. frankly@golf.com. We invite you to check out the Golf Smarter blog at golfsmarter.com to see a complete listing of all of our golf podcasts, including Golf Smarter Tips and Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf. Also, we have our weekly unbiased, unprofessional reviews provided by the listeners of the gear that they've won on either Golf Smarter or Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf. If you have won a piece of gear, please send an email to me with a review of what you won, and we'll post it up on our blog. I think a lot of people are interested in reading that information. This week's closing quote is actually a top 10 list submitted by Jonathan Kendler, who claims to have read this on a sign at a local golf shop. Now, I'm going to read the whole thing for you because it's really valuable information. Besides being a quote, this is something everybody should keep in mind, and it's got a cute little punchline. So, this is a top 10 list, and it says, number one, back straight, knees bent, feet shoulder width apart. Number two, form a loose grip. Number three, keep your head down. Number four, avoid a quick backswing. Number five, stay out of the water. Number six, try not to hit anyone. Number seven, if you're taking too long, let others go ahead of you. Number eight, don't stand directly in front of others. Number nine, quiet, please, while others are preparing. Number 10, don't take extra strokes. Then it says, well done. Now, flush the urinal, go outside, and have a nice round. If you have any quotes, comments, or questions, please click on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com.
The Good Dog Podcast is for people who are passionate about dogs.
I love my dogs.
I interview veterinarians, dog behaviorists, and a whole range of experts who offer tips and insights.
A good German Shepherd makes decisions. It will say, well, you know, I know the light just changed, but on the other hand, there's a very quiet Prius coming your way, and so I'm going to stop, whereas labs have a tendency to just follow rules.
You'll hear about some amazing canines who help their owners to be safe, and in some cases, alive.
Sometimes diabetics will test and they'll still be at 100 saying, I'm not going low, what are you talking about? And the dogs let them know before they even feel it.
And you'll pick up ideas for solving a host of challenges.
Within a week, you're going to have a dog that is calm, he lies down quietly, he's just going to be a totally different dog.
I'm Joanne Green. Please subscribe to the Good Dog Podcast, found in iTunes or at smarterpodcasts.com.